We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must e'er be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. On the battlefield for the Lord, OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. That's where we are stationed for the meeting house that is right now. But by August 31st, we won't be. So you pray for us, because we're going to need a meeting house, and we have no idea where God's going to have us meet, but we're depending on the Lord to give us that and trusting him every day for those things. And the battle is on. So you pray for us as, and boy, I'll tell you what, there's a lot going on right now. This, you see this battle right here. This is 3 hours of footage from preaching at the Pride in the Park event. And you can probably hear it in my voice. I'm definitely felt it. We didn't, no amplification out there. And Brother Paul and myself and Brother Jacob preached for 3 hours out there and in the heat. And the other men were there tracting and holding banners and having conversations when possible with folks. So we are definitely going to be feeling it. Well, their little ordinance there in the city was against amplification, and they actually made the others not turn on their garbage. So that was a blessing as well for us. But interesting things that conspired there at the time, or that transpired, I should say. Not conspired. But, you know, there was a situation with the police. They wanted to barricade us in the street and have us preach there. Well, I said, you know, we said we don't really like that spot. We'd like to be over here. And see, they know the LGBTQ people are violent people. So they had to keep us away or keep them away from us. So they had to keep him away from keep them away from us. So they put the barricades around us, put us in the shade. And we were fine. I was fine with that. And they ended the heckler's veto. They didn't allow the heckler's veto to be upheld, which was good for us. So we could preach and not have to fight the amp and not turn our amp on. So that was a blessing for sure. And so we praise God for that. But a lot of interesting things coming our way. So you please pray for us. The meeting house, that issue as well, and a number of financial obligations that are coming due at the end of June and July, different things for the year and different projects and things that different expenses, I should say. So you pray for us, the Lord provide that $5,000 or $6,000, probably something like that. God is able, and we know that, but you pray for us. Pray what the Lord might have you to do, and or what he might lead somebody else to do. So, we appreciate that. Now, you know, we are in a battle, that's for sure. And, you know, there's a lot of compromise out there. There's a lot of institutional iniquity. Like I titled this broadcast here. And there is an all-out assault, like I've talked about. And I guess this year, when I'm dealing with this pride subject, one of the things I'm dealing with is this all-out spiritual assault against the foundations. And it is very evident that that is the case. We're watching it, whether it's government, whether it's churches or apostate churches, the public school. There's just this all-out assault on the family, on the home, on the churches, on the foundations. It is meant to strike at the root of every foundation. And it is prevalent. And God's people have got to stand up against it. They've got to stand up against it. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loved violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. That's God. That's who he is. And there's an all-out assault on the foundations. I am very concerned with churches today. Not only the ones that have already turned their backs and the apostate ones, but I'm very concerned for those who say nothing. For those that go silent this month. For those that will not speak out. Listen to me. Churches should be extremely loud. Churches should be extremely loud this month. They should be extremely vocal this month. They should be out in the trenches this month. At a minimum, holding banners. Men should be out there in the streets. They should be warning. They should be standing out there with signs and banners and vocally preaching. Against it. And then preaching the gospel. They should be very vocal. You know, you have all these, and I don't agree with their youth movements, right? But you have all these work, you have all these groups, and they do all these youth movement activities. And they'll organize them to do everything. But where are they? Where are all the old faithful men? You know, where are the churches and the men to stand up against this? Man, Ross, I just saw, brother, your picture on Twitter before you had a beard. And, man, you were Mr. Slickster, man. Holy buckets, were you Mr. Slickster? Man, you were slick. It was funny. I was like, who is that guy? Oh, that was funny, man. That was funny. But, praise the Lord, Brother Ross is out there wanting to do something. He's got some men over there that with him that want to do something for the Lord, too, over there. In Scotland. Maybe someday the Lord will let my wife and I want to bring my wife and I want to go to one day go to England again. Scotland. And she wants to go to Germany. So maybe the Lord will allow that someday. Not right now, because we got a lot of babies and a lot of work ahead of us. Oh. But anyway, where are... where are those men? We have every single one of these places in America today, these institutions that are under attack. About one of these favorite apostate shows here. The Chosen, Antichrist, False Jesus, got their pride flag. No surprise. Right? No surprise that this would be the case. The dissenter writes, anyone who still believes that the popular television show The Chosen is a Christian television show is deceiving themselves. While Christians and churches have been entranced by this show for the last several years, many of us have been sounding the alarm about the unbiblical and even subtle heretical propaganda that is being pushed by it. See if I can find that here. Yeah, that was back in February 12th. We talked about that. If you don't know what that's about, you can go listen to that. If you've been watching that stupidity, listen to this broadcast. But anyway, while Christians and churches have been entranced with that by this show for the last several years, many of us have been sounding the alarm, warning people. From the outset, the Chosen has distorted the gospel into a subtle form of social activism. Oh, you mean the Chosen is popular because it's the woke gospel? It's a social justice Jesus? Yeah. That's why it's popular. That's why everybody likes it. The show presents Jesus as someone who came to lead the world in changing the dynamics of power structures and hierarchies rather than call people out of the world into his kingdom. There was a report here about the actor playing Jesus, Jonathan Rumi, who is a Roman Catholic. He prays the rosary with people online. He plays the rosary. Or prays the rosary. Plays it too, probably. Quotes from the Book of Mormon claiming Jesus to be the law of Moses. Directly contradicting what Jesus said in the scriptures. Book of Mormon. Also, remember that when we showed you this, Rumi had been praying with the dead and chatting with the ghosts of Lonnie Frisbee? Remember when we did that on Lonnie Frisbee? I'll remind you that. You don't know who Lonnie Frisbee is? He was the head of the Jesus Revolution, the Jesus People Movement, the PSYOP, the CIA, FBI. Acid Trip and Sod Movement. Go back and listen to that. Or the God of the Jesus People and CCM is a homosexual antichrist. Made lots of friends, influenced lots of people with that. Okay. That's who this guy is. We also reported that Rumi had been praying with the dead and chatting, with Lonnie Frisbee. They really weren't surprised when a homosexual pride flag appeared on the set during a recording of a recent episode. While this had caused backlash in the Christian community, what's a Christian community? Anybody with a brain would know these people are antichrist. Anybody that reads the scriptures would know. While this has caused a backlash, several involved with the recording of the show have come to the defense of homosexuality. The latest is Giovanni Cairo, the actor on the show who plays Thaddeus. In response to a post on Twitter by John Root calling out the hypocrisy of having a pride flag, a symbol of the utmost rebellion against Christ, here's how the man responded. Christians, just like we boycotted Target and Bud Light, we need to boycott The Chosen TV. Another one of the actors on The Chosen here. Anyone who's going to go at one of our family members for something like this is no fan of ours. They can close the door on the way out. Love one another as I have loved you. We stand with our brother. The actor who plays Thaddeus stands by the display of the pride flag. What I stand for is not attacking people for their differences on belief, John. You, sir, like to judge and attack. I love my friends and won't put up with you attacking them. I love my friends. Well, I love my friend, too. His name is Jesus. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Then Jesus goes on to tell us, or the scriptures go on to tell us about friends. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. That's God's recipe there. Tells us also in 1 John. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. As ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But here's the difference. Ye have an unction from the Holy One and know all things. You're not confused about the spirit of Antichrist and who Christ is. Because you have an unction. The act of anointing. That which excites piety and devotion. Richness of gracious affections. Divine or sanctifying grace. You're not confused when they bring you another Jesus. You look at that and you're like, yeah, no way. No way. Because you're not fooled. These are the actors and creators of this so-called Christian television show. So Christians will boycott Target or Chick-fil-A or other secular places promoting sexual immorality. But if they accept it on The Chosen, if their pastors and their churches are accepting it. You see, these people with The Chosen, all they're doing is taking Hollywood, or they're just taking entertainment. You know what The Chosen proves? Here's what it proves. It proves that these people speak Christianese, and that these people producing this television program know full well this represents American Christianity. That's why it takes root. That's what they know. They know that that's exactly the way mainstream Christianity is, and it will be accepted by them. It is deceptive. It is seductive. It is entertaining. And they make that show in such a way that it is very entertaining. It draws men in. Because people want to be spiritual. Spiritual people. We're all spiritual. Very spiritual people. I agree. A lot of you have devils. You're very spiritual. That Chosen hits a market of people that are ready to receive it. That's why it's popular. That's why people will watch it. Well, it's got some good Christian stuff. And it's about Jesus. Well, it's misrepresenting Jesus. So, therefore, it represents the Jesus of the Mormon Church, the Jesus of the Masonic Order. The Kabbalistic Christ. Ooh, that's a good one, Carl. That's a good one, Aaron. I'm going to have to call that the Kabbalistic. I'm going to have to do one a broadcast on the Kabbalistic Christ. That one I'm definitely charging $19.99 for on pay-per-view. Here's another apostate church. There's nothing quite more dangerous than apostate churches. There really isn't. Because apostate churches, they're very deceptive. It's a mark of the end times. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Look what it says they have. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. You're to turn away from them. Because they are extremely dangerous people. And the reason why they are so dangerous is because they have a form of godliness. There's a form there. There's some kind of structure there. There's a level of deception there. So then, because the form of a church, a biblical church, is there, they're better able to deceive people. That's why apostasy is so dangerous. That's the reason why. Episcopal Church platforms children to endorse homosexuality and abortion from the pulpit. Here it is.
Pray for an end to restrictions on reproductive rights and for a world where abortion is available for anyone who seeks it. Lord, hear our prayer.
My name is Warren.
Man. I don't know if this reminds you of like Nazi Germany or something, but it is insane. That is absolutely insane to me. You have children praying that they can, that there'll be unrestricted murder of children. If that's not the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Wait a minute, are you serious? Children are up there praying for the murder of children. Do you get that?
Pray for an end to restrictions on reproductive rights and for a world where abortion is available for anyone who seeks it. Lord, hear our prayer.
Oh, that is creepy. Oh my goodness. As if Episcopalian and Catholic stuff is not creepy enough. It's already creepy. That, you, I gotta hear that again. I'm sorry, I have to hear that again. It's just, it's like, yeah, it's real.
We pray for an end to restrictions on reproductive rights and for a world where abortion is available for anyone who seeks it. Lord, hear our prayer.
My name is Morgan. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm glad to be here today, and thank you all for listening.
We pray for an end to police brutality and for an end to racism everywhere and in its many forms. Lord, hear our prayer.
Let me tell you a little about myself. I am a biracial woman who is on the autism spectrum and is part of the LGBTQ+ community, which means I'm a minority, or as I like to call it, quadruple marginalized. I am often seen as lesser because of these things. People often don't listen to me because I'm a woman. I have...
Amen. I wouldn't. That's one reason why I wouldn't listen to any of the drivel you're saying right now in a serious way, because you are, I think you're a woman. You're a woman standing in what's supposed to be a church, and you're running your mouth. So you're right. I wouldn't listen to you. I wouldn't. And I'd smile like I am now because I can't help it. Because God made me a man. He made me a man. And yeah, filled me with testosterone too. Just can't help it.
Seen often throughout school that how boys and men get more credit for doing less than women do.
Oh, yeah. Boys and men, they often get more credit when they do less than others do. So I'm here to man hate on all the men. And there's a whole congregation of old nasty grannies and effeminate dudes that are so limp-wristed. They remind me of that guy. That's what they do. They remind me of that guy right there. That's who they remind me of. That guy. Limp-wristed dude. That guy. That guy. He's in the audience probably. He's probably a guy like that guy is sitting there. I think I see him there and there and there. That guy. Don't ever forget, when you're preaching against the LGBTQ, don't you ever forget about that guy. And I don't get any credit. And all the men get all the credit. It could be time for this song.
I do is work all day, doing all my chores, cleaning up my messy room, sweeping all the floors. Mother made me clean my plate, kept me in my chair. Pity me, 'cause life just isn't fair. Oh. I don't want to go to school, homework is a bore. Ask me anything you want, 2 + 2 = 4. Johnny took my candy bar, Susie will not share. Pity me, 'cause life just isn't fair. Oh.
Was perfect.
Restrictions on reproductive rights, and for a world where abortion is available for anyone who seeks it. Lord, hear our prayer.
My name is Morgan. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm glad to be here today, and thank you all for listening.
We pray for an end to police brutality, and for an end to racism everywhere and in its many forms. Lord, hear our prayer.
Let me tell you a little about myself.
Do you have to?
I am a biracial woman who is on the autism spectrum and is part of the LGBTQ+ community, which means I'm a minority, or as I like to call it, quadruple marginalized. I am often seen as lesser because of these things. People,
I don't think that's why you're seen as lesser.
People often don't listen to me because I'm a woman.
Amen.
I have seen often throughout school that how boys and men get more credit for doing less than women do.
Yeah, I mean, losers.
Women do.
Oh, you clap for that? You bunch of sissy fruit boys. Are you little fruity boys in that audience clapping for that? Are you really?
We pray for our LGBTQ+ community, that the world may rejoice in its diversity and recognize it as a reflection of God's love, which takes many forms. Lord, hear our prayer.
Yeah. That right there, what that, I think it's a boy, might be a girl, who knows. But anyway, what he just said, or that child said, it's a reflection of man's depravity. It's not a reflection of God's love. That's a reflection of man's depravity.
I struggle with the word believe. Belief feels too finite. Like an acceptance that your mind will never change. And while I am a woman of many things, I am not a woman free from doubt. I could quote Walt Whitman here, or F. Scott Fitzgerald, but why quote a dead white man when I could quote me?
Yeah, why quote... Why quote a dead white man? When I could quote me. Ah. That was very nice.
While I am a woman of many things, I am not a woman free from doubt. I could quote Walt Whitman here.
Well, you know, seeing how you're supposed to be in a church, supposed to be. You're not even quoting the Bible. And the fact that there's a bunch of old men in that room right now listening to these little punks, and that's what I said, these punks. And these little fornicating whores and Jezebels. Talk to full-grown men this way is unreal to me. The level of disrespect that's being displayed here is unbelievable. Children are their oppressors. And women rule over them. These guys, and I saw a bunch of old nasty grannies at this last event, and old nasty dudes.
I am not a woman free from doubt. I could quote Walt Whitman here, or F. Scott Fitzgerald, but why quote a dead white man when I could quote me? I often think to myself, I don't believe in absolutes.
There you go. I often say to myself, I don't believe in absolutes. Sure. Well, that's why you hate God and his word. Because see, that's why nobody has the word of God there in that church. Well, hey, we've gotten so far. They don't even know what the word of God is. Like Paul said, why don't you send one of them women over here to climb this pole? Right? Send one of those men to climb the pole.
Except when I do. I think the world is far too complicated for black and whites.
I think the world is far too complicated for black and whites.
The world is constantly breaking binaries, whether that be gender, age, or even the binary idea of good versus evil. But also sometimes I do believe in absolutes. There are some things I firmly believe are only wrong, like transphobia or racism.
I only think transphobia and racism are wrong.
How do I reconcile these opposing ideas? How do I firmly stick to my values and yet also leave room for the gray? For me, belief is too much of an absolute.
We pray for our transgender community, for an end to hateful and vitriolic rhetoric used to legislate against transgender freedoms, and for the mental health of all who are currently struggling because of it. Lord, hear our prayer.
Okay. So, here it is. This group of young people get up in front of there, and they're leading the congregation, which is children are their oppressors and women rule over them. That's pretty common, right? We see that today. But here they are standing up here, speaking the absolute opposite. They have no absolutes. The only absolute, and this is their hypocrisy. The only absolute is that the Bible is wrong. The only absolute they believe in is that the Bible is wrong, and in the beginning, God did not make them male and female. That transphobia is wrong because you're afraid of trans people, that you're transphobic. No. No one is born transgender. They're recruited. They're recruited to be transgender. These children have all been indoctrinated by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. By something that has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. They hate God. They hate the absolutes of the Bible. They hate the holiness of God. They hate the righteousness of God. They hate the law of God. They hate the judgment of God. But you know what? The people that are standing behind these children have the greater damnation. The people that are leading these children astray. These false prophets. They have the greater damnation. They do. Because they are deceiving these children. I'm going to talk about that this Sunday coming up. These people are the evil man that is warned about in Revelation. Or excuse me, in Proverbs. They are the evil man. That's what they are. They're leading these children astray. It's wicked. Dangerous. Dangerous times that we live in. Perilous times. Very dangerous and perilous times. That's the Episcopalians there. Very ignorant. See. Rick Warren. This apostate has been around a long time. He's been around a very long time deceiving the masses. Millions upon millions of people has read his purpose-driven church, purpose-driven life books. Hundreds of churches, if not thousands, have been started with his same philosophical model. He is part of the Church of Antichrist. Very terrible thing. Such deceptive behavior. In an unsurprising display of theological ineptitude, Rick Warren, the former pastor of Saddleback Church, wrote an open letter to the Southern Baptist Convention. In their Baptist News Global, a publication notorious for its pro-homosexual, pro-abortion stance. This alone, by all accounts, should cause alarms of discernment to clang loudly within the hearts of every God-fearing Southern Baptist. Part of the emergent church movement, the submergent movement, Brother Beller used to call it. Rick Warren retired last year from his church, hired some Andy Wood, sodomite for sure. In grappling with the words of Pastor Rick Warren, it becomes increasingly clear that an enduring and essential tension exists in the heart of Baptist theology. Well, Southern Baptist theology. I'm writing this open letter for two reasons. First, I'm deeply concerned about our denomination's 17-year decline and loss of 500,000 members last year. The Southern Baptist Convention is a mosaic of many kinds of Baptist tribes, blah, blah, blah. Our appeal to reverse the executive committee ruling is not asking any Baptists to change their theology. Not at all. The overwhelming majority of Southern Baptists are complementarian. But we reject the idea that Southern Baptists who disagree are an existential threat to our convention and not true Baptists. So what he's saying is that reverse the decision. To not allow women pastors. And we'll have women pastors and be a part of the SBC, but you don't have to have women pastors. What he knows is that once that infection gets in there, it'll spread everywhere. What I would say is, Rick, if you want to have chick pastors, since there is no SBC in the Bible, there is no Baptist convention in the Bible, why don't you just go your own way then, Ricky? Why don't you just go your own way, Rick, and do things your own way and leave the Southern Baptist Convention? Now, I'm not a Southern Baptist because I believe the Bible. And I believe churches are autonomous. So I could care less if some false prophet, fruit booty, effeminate, apostate, wrote a letter and said, women can now be pastors because we all voted on this. I'm going to help you with something. None of you people have a right to vote on that. I'm going to talk about this in my message on Wednesday night. But it's right here in the scriptures. None of you people have a right. No churches have a right to vote. On a woman pastor. Why? I'll show you. I want to help you with something. You remember this statement. No church or pastor has a right to vote on what Jesus Christ has already ruled on. Jesus has already ruled on it. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Male references, the husband, he, a man, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. There's 11 references to men there. Now, you couldn't get around that if you wanted to. But it's the attack on the foundations. Why? Well, Satan knows that when you leave God's order, you leave God's protection. So when you get women in there, when you get children leading things, when you get women leading things, the emotional pull comes in. Because women are emotional beings. So, there's an emotional pull. And they also know, Satan also knows, that First Timothy chapter 2. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived. But the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. She was deceived. Adam was not deceived. He wasn't. He chose to listen to his wife. And then after he chose to listen to his wife, he blamed his wife. See, that's how it worked. So, if a woman is in a leadership position, she is more apt, according to the scriptures, to be deceived. That's what God said. So if a woman is leading the marriage, she is more apt to be deceived. If a man is not leading his house and letting his woman guide the home, but him lead the home, if he is not doing that, the children can be led astray. Why is that? Because if women are in a leadership position, they're vulnerable. Because of Satan's attacks, they're vulnerable. So when men are not leading their homes like they should, when they're not leading their wives like they should, the home is in danger. The children are in danger. Of falling. The marriage is in danger of attack. The family is in danger of attack. The church, when women are running in the church, in danger of attack and deception. Because if she takes a leadership position, she's in a position to be deceived. There is not protection for her in leading when she has a husband to lead. Satan knows that. He knows that about the church. He knows that about the home. He knows that about the nation. He knows that about a business. He knows that about everything. Why he wants women to lead. That's why. Because if they do, his attacks are much easier. And the deception is much stronger. That's why you see these female apostles, these female charismatic leaders, and all these people deceived by them. Because they not only are deceived themselves, they have power to deceive others. When most of it would be destroyed by men leading properly. Very simple. That doesn't mean that men won't make mistakes. Men won't sin. Men won't do wrong. It doesn't mean any of that. None of that changes. None of that changes God's will. None of it. Doesn't. But sometimes men put their wives in positions of leading because they're not fulfilling their responsibility. It happens a lot. Then the family is vulnerable. Do you like how Rick wants his autonomy now? This should be the moment where 47,000 plus autonomous, independent, freedom-loving churches say no to turning the executive committee into a theological magisterium that controls a perpetual inquisition of churches. Wait a minute. Ain't this the same guy that met with the Pope? Isn't it the same guy that's friends with the Pope? Knight of Malta, Jesuit order. Trilateral commission. This is a vote to affirm our founding documents, which insists that our unity is be based on giving total submission to Christ in our deeds and not based on mental submission to man's creeds. Oh my goodness, this guy is a lying Jesuit. Hand me a Bible and I'll sign that as my authority. The Bible is the Baptist sole authority. Oh my goodness, how can you even say that? How can you even say that? I'll tell you how. He's a lost devil. He's a possessed devil. Devilish man. That's how he does it. Unbelievable. How you can say the Bible is your sole authority. Which Bible? Rick? Which Bible? Which Bible is it, Rick? Actually, You know something? He's probably not lying. He does believe the Bible is his authority. Not the King James Bible. So his Bible doesn't care what he does. Tracy K said, I'm getting to where I don't even trust contemporary Christian music. Well, you shouldn't. I have an entire series on it. Go listen to it. It's right here. I'll show you. Let's see. Here it is. Right here. Well, I have more than just this. But the God of CCM is the Antichrist. Listen to that one. The Pied Piper of Rome's ecumenical agenda. CCM Sodomites and Joel Osteen's Inspiration Cube. So there you go. There's a bunch. I'll even put the link in the description or in the chat for you. There it is. There you go. It's only been the last 8 years that the Baptist faith and message has been weaponized and turned into a creed of exclusion. By the way, I have a question. Here's my question. So what if the Baptist, Southern Baptist Convention got smaller? So what? What if it did? What if it does? It's like sometimes people leave your church and that's not a bad thing. Believe me, Carl, you and Aaron are two peas in a pod for sure. So, anyway, either way, if they left, that's not always a bad thing. Sometimes people leaving when they're like that is a good thing. But that's a convention and not a church. So the whole concept of the convention is not even scriptural, in my opinion. Not necessary. Has no authority. The Baptists of old would have these, it wasn't a convention, it was a fellowship type thing. but it had no authority over one another. Sometimes they would ask questions that they didn't understand, try to get some clarification, things like that. But they had no authority over anything. But the Southern Baptist Convention does. They have all the money. They have everything. So this guy says, we're talking about churches that abandon the clear biblical directives of how to operate, churches that are in open and clear rebellion to God by placing women in the pulpit or in pastoral roles. A church that disobeys a clear biblical command is a church that is in rebellion to God. As the scriptures further clearly command us, we are not to have fellowship with them. But Warren has a desire to do that. We know what the scriptures say. But Warren has a desire to pervert as many churches as he can. Here's Calvary Chapel. Chuck Smith, right? Remember Calvary Chapel? Bonnie. Talked about him. We live in an era where the lines between the church and the world are increasingly blurred. One might argue that the waters of the sacred have been muddied by the fingers of the secular. On February 6th, 2022, it was overlooked by many, he said, but it was particularly relevant. National Republican and Fox conservative queer activist Scott Pressler, an open homosexual, was invited to speak at God Speak Calvary Chapel. His speech revolved around practical topics such as voter registration drives, massive city trash cleanups, candidate training classes. However, the content of his message isn't our primary concern. Our focus is rather on the decision of the church leadership to platform a homosexual on the stage. Yeah. Pressler's an openly homosexual, self-proclaimed conservative. Well, I mean, Lonnie Frisbee. Started that movement, and he was an open homosexual. Then a closet one, then an open one again. That's their movement. He's an openly homosexual, self-proclaimed conservative, but not really, because homosexuality isn't conservative. And who frequently speaks about being a homosexual in a conservative spaces. Furthermore, his outspoken identification as a homosexual within these traditional conservative spheres is a flagrant contradiction to biblical sexual ethics. Pressler is actively facilitating the erosion of these very principles. His activism promotes the normalization of homosexuality, thus distorting the Christian sexual ethic. The Apostle Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. I read you those verses, right? Or actually, I will. There's no allegiance to the gospel any longer. There's no allegiance to what is right any longer. These people are totally given over. They're not careful. They're not careful with their associations. And they're fine with that. They reject the lordship of Christ. They accept sinful conservatives into their church groups. Donald Trump is one of the main supporters of the homosexual movement, the LGBTQ movement. And Donald Trump was invited to all these conservative churches while he is supporting the homosexual movement. Think about that. So it's only a matter of time before mainstream churches accept it. Only a matter of time. You have these homosexual conservatives, so to speak, that are invited into churches. Donald Trump, like I said, one of the main supporters. And all these churches invited him in. All these big names invited him in. And by the way, my friends that were pastors, that are pastors, some of them, supported him while he is supporting the LGBTQ movement. They're silent to it. They were silent to it. So every chance I got, I exposed Donald Trump's connection to that. To the anger of my friends. I'm anxious to see how they play the Trump DeSantis thing. I honestly am. I'm very anxious. How it works out. So, it's going to be interesting. Things that he differentiates openly about, who knows about, I mean, closet, however we know, is the LGBTQ Disney type stuff. And I'm curious to see how that's handled. Whether it goes to Trump's favor because of the absolute decline of the churches, the acceptance of that behavior, or whether they use it to stoke the movement more, the evangelicals, and get them to rise up. We'll see. Either way, it's going to be awful interesting how that all plays out. But we have in all these things, the U.S. Department of Education is turning public schools into Sodom and Gomorrah, this article says. Yep. I asked that lady on that video. I asked her, hey, or over there at the Pride of the Park, the lady that works for the Northfield Public Library. Hey, when are we going to get to come in and read the Bible and have Christian hour? That didn't last very long. Right? Didn't say much to respond to that. wouldn't respond to that. I just saw clips of a video from one man that was showing how Fox News is completely supporting the LGBTQ, which they have for a long time, but a complete support of that. No surprise, by the way. Amen. I'll tell you, there is so much going on in this world today, and we need to be prayed up. We need to be asking the Lord for his grace and his mercy. We need to be seeking God's face, and we need to be being a witness and a light out there to a lost and dying world. Sure, they know the truth. They're in trouble. All around are in trouble. The deception is strong. We're seeing it everywhere. We're watching these young people so deceived. Churches are deceiving them. The government is deceiving them. The religious institutions are deceiving them. Their parents are deceiving them. Doctors are deceiving them. It's really sad. Watch. We need to be out there and be witnesses. We need to be standing firm in the faith. Play this song for you. Will there be any stars around? Think Al and I.
I am thinking today of that beautiful land I shall reach when the sun goeth down. When through wonderful grace by my Savior I stand, will there be many stars in my crown? Stars in my crown, when at evening the sun goeth down. When I wake with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? A winner of souls, that bright stars may be mine in the glorious day when His wings like the sea billow rolls. Will there be any stars in my crown? Sun goeth down. When I wake with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? In my crown, when at evening the sun goes.
good song. That was Alan Ives and his family. Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown? Good hymns, and praise the Lord for that. Now, you pray for our ministry here. We got a busy week coming up. This Saturday, we'll be at the Golden Valley Pride in the Park event and preaching outside of there. So please be in prayer. We'll be broadcasting live from there. Parental discretion is advised, of course, because of that. It'll be only on YouTube and Rumble. Those will be the only two places we'll broadcast live because kind of nasty, the event. So I don't want those on sermon audio and put those on sermon audio. So anyway, but you pray for us there. Also pray for our ministry. We've got a lot of and myself. I have a lot of expenses coming up. Pray that the Lord provide for those things and that God would meet take care of us. If you'd like to give to our ministry, you can do that through PayPal. You can send it to salvationpreacher@gmail.com. Or you can give through Apple Pay, Venmo, give through Cash App, I think it's called, a number of those different that. So there's a number of different ways that you can do that. Please consider that. Or you can mail something. Well, for right now anyway, until the end of August. We don't know where we're going to be meet. Pray for us to Lord to provide us a meeting house, the right one that he would provide us. And the address that you could send something if you'd like to mail something to us is 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. Feel free to do that if the Lord leads you. And if God does not lead you to give anything, that's okay. I know that God wants you to pray, though. So pray for us that God would speak to somebody else's heart that is in a position to be able to give for the ministry and that they would do that. Okay? Anyway. Other than that, God bless you all. We'll be back Wednesday, 2 p.m. Central Time, Wednesday afternoon, 2 p.m. Central Time. And we'll be back to for another broadcast, and we'll see what the Lord does. Meanwhile, I'll be putting on some sermons. I'm going to try to get – I'm behind on YouTube. I got to kind of catch up on getting all the sermons. For the latest sermons, always go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. Those are more of the later latest sermons. That are on there. I got to put on, I think I got Wednesday's sermon already. I got to put Sunday's, I'll be putting Sunday's sermon on tomorrow, and one of Sunday's sermons on tomorrow, the other one the next day, and then we'll be putting broadcasts on and all kinds of stuff. So, and there's a lot. So a lot to listen to, a lot to watch. So Lord willing, you'll be blessed by all those things praying for one another. Pray for us that the Lord continue to bless us and to keep us and keep us faithful to God. Amen. And for you to be faithful to the Lord as well. Amen. So praise the Lord, Rachel Bicey. I'm glad that was a blessing to you. All right, Mary Teresa Darrell's wife, Tracy K. Pray for Christina Dion. She's having a hard time right now. Pray for Joe. Or there's Joe McDonald. You can pray for him too if you want. But Joe McDonald's on there. And Michelle's on there. And a number of people. My wife is on here. Betty was on. Cindy Nelson. And good crowd on here today. We had about 50 people on here today. Steady 50. So that was good. And I think Andrea was on here earlier. I thought I saw her. Brother Paul Pearson on there. Brother Aaron on there. Brother Jacob, I think I seen him on there. Scotty's on there. Brother Jack is on there. Terry Carter was on there. So lots of people on here. Praise the Lord for the Angie K was on there. Praise the Lord for that. Kevin P was on there too. Pilgrim on there too. The Lord for that, and hope you're all doing well. And Lord willing, we'll keep banging the drum here and getting the truth out there to people. Hopefully, some of these people come out of Babylon, right? They'll come out of these churches and come out and see the truth, strengthened in their faith. Becca's on here too. Jacob, that's right. Summo was on there too as well. Pray for my wife. We have another doctor's appointment tomorrow. So tomorrow afternoon will be doctor's appointment. Pray that all is well with the baby. Everything seems to be fine. Praise the Lord. Number 8 is supposed to be a baby boy. Well, not supposed to be. He is. We saw him. He's a baby boy. Amen. So you pray for that little guy. And pray for Mama that she'd be okay too. All right. Keep us in your prayers there. We appreciate that. God bless you all. And take care. We'll see you here soon.